suddenly changed pace through the centre. It's Bergkamp. That's magnificent. The move, and then this, which left Dabby's ass totally stranded.
Hello and welcome to a Bergkamp Wonderland and Arsenal podcast. I've had a dodgy throat, Danny's had a dodgy tummy, but we're 2 days late. Better late than never is what they say, Danny, I've heard. Better late than never.
And doesn't what a mean game. They're right.
True. But what a game to come back to, a 5-0 victory over the Rent Boys down in South London, Chelsea, or as I call them, Chelsky. Russian connection, see what I did there? There you go. We're going to be discussing that this evening. So hopefully we can relive the wonderful 5-0, the Kai Havertz celebration and everything in between. But Danny, how are you? How's the tum? How are we doing?
The tum, well, when Sian comes back, she was back for 3 or 4 days because Audi decided to, brand new car, just to mess it up. Brakes don't work properly. The stereo doesn't work properly. The lane assist doesn't work properly. The rear light doesn't work at all. They blamed us for that. They said, you've taken it somewhere else to get it fixed. So it's been to Audi Derby and then Audi Huntingdon and 8 times, still not fixed. So she has to keep coming back and bringing it back. So, it's not too bad. But so when she's here, we have naughty food. So we had curry. Curry does not agree with you when you're on the meat diet. So it's...
Of course. Yeah. When you're eating this meat diet, though, you're pretty much just having salt and pepper, aren't you, as a seasoning to a degree. You're not really having any sauces with it, are you?
No, I don't have it. Last night, Sean did bacon sandwiches. Tomato sauce? I said, no tomato sauce for me, dear. But then I've also had a kidney stone. So my wee has been this kind of colour, which is a good sign because whatever it is, it's the stone is scraping its way through your innards. And that means it's on its way out. So any day now, I should be laying an egg.
So unpleasant to everyone. Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's been 2 weeks since we've done a podcast because of every time I make plans, I'm ill. But I think it's on its way out. It's every 8 or 9 years I get one.
Okay. So you're all good now for the next 8 to 9 years.
Yeah, and well, once it comes out, I will be. That's nice. Unfortunately, I'm not blessed. So when that comes out, that's going to hurt.
I'm not envious there, Danny. Not envious there. We've got lots of people in the chat, so we're going to say hello to some people. I've got the Man City Brighton game on the other screen as well, guys. So if anything does happen, I'm sure you guys are going to notify me, but we can have a little discussion about it as well, about the fact that Haaland's not playing and stuff like that. But we're going to go with a final 5-0 victory over Chelsea with a couple from Benjamin Blanco, obviously Kai Havertz, and with this celebration and Trossard starting the scoring off. But let's say hello to some people first. We've got Englishman in Canada. Evening, chaps. Renry just dodgy altogether. Are we talking about? Danny are both very dodgy. Formerly knows that evening all. Yes. Hand to you, me. Hello, Danny. Hello, everyone. BX Gunner, good evening, everybody. Formerly knows her. Pollock called them a bus stop in Fulham. This is very true. I've said it for years now, the fact that Stamford Bridge is on Fulham Broadway. Yep. They can't get away from the name. Renry should have got a BM.
Oh, I wouldn't get any new cars. I mean, I've got two others, but I've got a Mercedes and a Volkswagen Charan. But she won't be seen dead in the Mercedes because it's a 1994. She had Golfs before that. New Golf, 7 years, single problem.
Yeah, Golf.
Go to Audi, shit car.
I love Golfs. They, as well as the fact that they hold their value. Very, very, very wonderful cars. Wonderful cars indeed. Hand to you, me. Welly Beck has something for us, please. Welly, I agree. Hopefully, we can see him get something for us here. 5 minutes, Brighton having conceded 85. More 5 minutes more to go. At the Arsenal True X Galaxy podcast. And now that is a name and a half with a man with a tash of dreams. Alonso, what's going on? Hello, guys. Hello there. Henty, yes, here. Fantastic stuff. Englishman in Canada. If City lose today, this could be a historic pod. I agree with you there. And Boy Tendio, don't watch the game. Don't watch the score. Oh, okay. this. I don't know, Danny. I'm still going to want to check. You know.
Oh, I'm watching it. I'm watching it live.
Oh well, there you go. Well,
a minute.
Yeah, they, so, do one, boy Tendia. Do one, yeah. Mate. so we'll start off then, because we've got quite a few goals to discuss, which is fantastic.
Our Are you not going to ask me to describe the goals though, because I cannot remember.
No, that's all right. I've got the 2 minute highlights here, so I'll go through the goal. And we can talk about it. Maybe it'll drop.
Oh, I've just downloaded it.
That's fine. I've got the 2 minute thing. I'll watch it as we go. It's fine. Don't watch it. City will win. Fine. I'm closing it for you, boy Tindy. I'm closing. I've done. Gone. It's gone. The blue screen is there. Did we have predictions, Danny? No, we didn't have predictions.
No, we didn't do it. We didn't do a single.
We've not been doing pods. I'm just trying to think of the old order that we use. But that's
it was a million years ago.
Null and void. So let's just do the
scored in the fifth minute.
Yeah,
how
did.
Easily, you know, you could pump me through a pentathlon and I wouldn't be able to tell you about any of the goals.
It's fine. I'll explain the goals.
I've got the game up now.
Line up.
I'll be able to watch it when you say.
Let's do line up then.
Go on.
We'll talk about line up. How excited, Danny, on a scale of 1 to 10, were you seeing the Rice Party Odegaard midfield again? But keep in mind that now Rice has developed into that that left eight. Previously, he hadn't. He was learning it still. And he's kind of been our auxiliary striker. His driving run through the middle have proven in week out that have been decisive moments. And Odegaard with his possession and the fact that even when Partey came on the last few times, you see him kind of, it's like rejuvenates him. And Partey being back to his best. Yeah, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited were you to see those three in the middle of the park?
Well, beginning of the season, we all know that I did my fabled, every single time I brought it up, my 11, which I have got here. The first one I have got is the Havertz playing up front, and then Jorginho and Rice and Odegaard in the middle. And then I've got this one, which is all of these don't have Partey in. But when I did it at the beginning of the season, I had Partey in this Rice role in the middle. I had Rice on the left, Odegaard on the right, and Havertz nowhere. And then we'd have Martinelli left, Saka right. And up front, it was probably Jesus, which was maybe this one. No, this one. No. And as you know, people, if you've been unfortunate enough to watch this all the way through, you'll know that every time I did this, I had to change it again because no one knew what was going on with formation-wise at the beginning of the season.
Of course, we were playing Partey at right back, weren't we?
We were playing everybody everywhere. And then slowly, if we look back through the season, then we'd be able to see the evolution of Arteta Arsenal version 2. Version 1 was last season, and that was magnificent. And we were all going, why isn't he playing like he was last season? What? Hello, David, not in Portland. Why have we gone playing beautiful football last season? Why has he changed? It looked like he ripped it all up and started again. And then I thought it'd be Partey playing. The way we played last night, the formation is how I thought this season's formation would be. Partey out, beginning of the season, completely ruined that. And I think that messed it up for Arteta as well. So you had a lot of people last night go, this is the formation I've wanted all season. Well,
not been able to.
No, haven't been able to. So this is what we've been waiting for. And I think Partey did all right. I mean, when you're as good as he is, you're never going to be terrible, but it wasn't the Partey, the £50 million prime Partey that we once had. And he's never going to be that Partey again. So he's had a swan song in that position. Yep, luckily, we're playing a rubbish side. So I was interested to see how it going on. That was my only feelings about it, other than excitement and
Okay. So intrigue more than excitement.
That's it.
Thank you
for the right words.
No, that's all right. I was excited. I've been seeing what Partey's been doing the last few weeks and I was intrigued by it. There was lots of comments as well about people reading Odegaard's body language when Partey was coming onto the field, him being excited by the prospect of playing with him in the middle of the park. He obviously wanted it. We've seen Odegaard once again pull out one of the performances of the season, and I feel like it's probably got a lot to do with the confidence that he's got with Partey right behind him, and obviously Rice as well, playing in a position that he's really becoming very familiar with, to the point where the question of the left eight is not as prevalent as it was a few months ago, that's for sure. And even the striker comments have kind of calmed down just a tad in regards to Havertz. The left back position, however, is still a position that needs to be looked at very, very urgently. But yeah, lineup. Rice, Partey, Odegaard in the middle. Tomiyasu stepping in at left back, which was nice to see, Danny, wasn't it? We're not putting in Zinchenko and waiting for him to have a moment. We didn't have Kivior coming out from the cold and going into a lineup. We had the sturdy, just a fantastic all-round player, Tomiyasu, the Mr. He's like the El Neni of left-backs, isn't he? Or centre-backs, whatever. Well, he's the guy who kind of gets stuff done.
At 5-0 up, brought on Zinchenko, I tweeted, Zinchenko coming on 5-5, put your money on it.
I know, right? We're at least losing the clean sheet, right?
But, I mean, Tomiyasu is probably first choice. Second choice is probably, I'm going to say Zinchenko, mainly out because he's got something in his contract. Third choice, Kivior. They must all be looking. Did you see any of the game of Timber's comeback?
Yeah, he scored. His comeback game. What a goal.
Wow.
Kind of like nice little Cruyff turn on the edge of the left-hand side of the box and just used his right peg and just rifled it into the roof and net over the keeper. It was beautiful stuff.
Winterburn style against Chelsea many years ago, that kind of thing. So they must be looking at that and going, oh, and you see the way when a player has got slightly bow-legged when they run, you think, oh, hello, we got someone here. And he's got the calves and everyone's running around like headless chickens at times. And he's just stood there, hands on hips, Tony Adams style. Just watching what's going on, deciding when he needs to make his move. So they've got to be looking at him and going, "Phew, thank God he's been injured all season. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't get a game ever." So I think all three of those will be leaving, hopefully, this summer. Tomiyasu, he isn't good enough. He isn't consistently enough, whether that be fitness or ability. Zinchenko, just no. And Kivior, they're going to get big money for him from an Italian side, so let him go.
Sure.
So seeing Tomiyasu play, good. I like him, but I'm not going to get too attached to him because he is plays two games, then injured for 6 months, as we all know, and then back for a game and a half, and then injured, blah-de-blah-de-blah. So, yeah, nice to see him play.
Yeah, I agree with you. We'll briefly just brush over the Chelsea lineup because there were so many missing from the lineup, which I think a lot of Arsenal fans were very happy to see. There was no Cole Palmer, who's been the man for Chelsea for a number of months now. Jesus Christ, he's got a lot of penalties, but he's been easily their best player. So we had the likes of obviously Mudryk, who was potentially he was going to come to us, but we ended up getting Trossard, Jackson up top as well. We don't know what we get with him. I think he's some people were comparing him to Drogba. I'm thinking more I'm thinking more on the lines of Yaya Sanogo because he was like the chaos factor. He didn't know what he was doing, so nobody knew what he was doing. It was crazy. It was just a chaos factor throwing it in there. That's kind of what he reminds me of. And we had Alfie Gilchrist as well playing at right back.
Exactly. Making his debut. Hope you enjoyed that, son.
What a start. What a start to his career. But the funny thing is he wasn't the worst rated player on the field. That was held by the none other than the £100 million midfielder Fernandes. Oh, I've got it. So on my app here. So is he the lowest there still?
Yes, WhoScored.com are just off their tits on crack when it comes to ratings. So I'd ignore it.
Oh, I'm using One Football, and he was the worst rated player on the pitch. But we'll talk about Fernandes and his contribution to the Arsenal goals. But yeah, 5-0. Let's talk about it. So I'm gonna briefly just press play here because I'm pretty sure this is like the Trossard goal early moments here. Yeah, so we've got a little bit of an attack. Partey recycling the possession really well. A little bit of 1-2 football, and then we've got Ødegaard playing it through to Rice. Rice carries the ball. We're seeing that quite often this season. Him carrying and driving the ball forward. We've got Trossard on his overlap.
Yep.
And he lays it off quite nicely to him. Trossard takes one touch with his left to stabilize the shot and then rifles it with his right foot, which is lovely to see the ambidextrousness. Somebody who's one-footed wouldn't be able to do these sorts of things. And rifles it near post, beating Petrovic to his near post, which a lot of people are having a bit of jip with him about. But when you're hitting it that true, Danny, and that hard, regardless of how good of a keeper you are, you don't stop those. And once again, the man, the myth, the legend, the man that we said that Trossard isn't the man that starts games, but is a man that comes onto games. He's scoring first now most of the time, isn't it, Danny? And what a goal to start things off. 4 minutes in.
Yeah.
Trossard. Beautiful goal.
It was lovely. I mean, well, I'll say one thing about Chelsea. They've got a nice back line of four players, nice, not, almost in a straight line. Cucurella showing the signs of what's going to happen for the rest of the night. Absolutely clueless. He's an absolute joke of a player. I've praised him so many times, but he's a menace.
And then, when he was at Brighton, when he was at Brighton.
Well, when they were all at Brighton.
Yeah, true.
They bought all the good, the overpriced ones that are now turning. Because Caicedo, did he play in the game? Yeah, he did. Got 5.7. Yes. Did nothing the entire game. Absolute pony. Yeah, we've got Trossard and Ben White, who were absolutely sublime. But yeah, like you're saying, Rice runs through, and then he puts Trossard through, and Trossard takes a touch, spanks it with his left foot near post, through the goalkeeper's legs, hit him, his leg as it went in. And it's just a... just looking at it, and then I don't know, afterwards, Arteta is shouting at AirPod Albert. I'm just watching the back, and we're just watching it replaying now. I don't know what he's shouting at him and the other person for. It's not in any kind of celebration. And then Declan walking away, the camera's on him, getting high fives from everybody for a wonderful bit of play. But like you said, it all started off with a wonderful a ball from Saka into Havertz to Partey, and then to Rice, and Rice did all the hard work. Wonderful goal. And at that point, I thought, oh, I mean, Sean said, well, watch the game. We said, what do you think it's going to be? I said, 2-2, because we never have any luck against these. But then I've got all of our recent results, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, I'm delighted with that.
Fantastic stuff. It really settled the nerves, I feel, as well. I think it set the bar of what Arsenal team we were going to see that evening. So I was a very, very happy man. The first half ended 1-0. Were you confident that we could see it out? Were you hoping that obviously that we're going to see the same Arsenal that finished the first half that would come out for the second half? Or are you a little bit anxious? Obviously, a 1-0 lead is not fantastic. You know, one goal and they're back in the game and we're going to have to fight all over again. How are you feeling at halftime, Danny?
I expect nothing. I did a tweet the other day that said I've been an Arsenal fan. For the last 20 years, Arsenal have beaten it into me to expect nothing, to be let down, to go full Liverpool as they are doing at the moment. And we've done that, and that started to happen. But then we've turned it around. To win 5-0 after going to Wolves and winning, Wolves are a pretty decent side. And with other teams dropping points, I mean, Man City are 1-0 up at the moment. I think De Bruyne scored the goal.
Yeah, it looks like De Bruyne scores a diving header. Archangel, good evening, good evening, good evening. I'm watching it now. I'm watching it now. I'm not going to not watch it now. We'll see what happens.
They've beaten it into me to expect the worst at all times because, quite frankly, after with the Invincibles, it has been, apart from a few FA Cups, which you can't turn your nose up at, but it has been failure after letdown after hype after letdown after failure. And I just expect it all the time. And they're not going to mug me off again and get me going, we're going to win it. Although we're in a great position, a great run of, what is it? That's 13 Premier League games. That's 11 wins, one loss, one draw. That's not bad, is it?
Not bad at all, Danny. Not
but
bad at all.
That goal, I'm just looking at the build-up to the goal. I didn't notice until after the game. You see, before the corner comes in, Ben White picks up Cucurella, throws him in the net. Did you see that?
Yes, I saw that. I've got a picture of it and everything. It's quality. Absolute big fan of it. Big fan of it.
It's joyful. I saw a thing of it yesterday. I've got this of it.
There we go.
He's thrown him in there. Looks at him on the floor. Yeah, get rid of that. What are you playing at? Get up, you silly tart.
Big fan. Massive fan. First half finishes 1-0. Second half, we get Ben White, 52nd minute. Comes from a corner, short from Saka. Play to Ødegaard. Ødegaard just plays it back to Saka. And then Saka lays it off to Declan Rice, who takes a pot shot. Makes a deflection. Conor Gallagher gets a deflection or a block anyway. And then Ben White is in the correct place. In the correct moment and just slots it behind the keeper. But there's one moment that I don't know if a lot of people missed, but if you rewatch that particular goal, if you're listening to this or watching it now or listening to this, rewatch that goal and just keep your eyes on Saliba and
what's his name?
Fernandez, Enzo Fernandez.
That's what I'm looking at now.
Keep an eye on those two. Keep an eye on those two. They're very pivotal for this moment. Whilst the ball is being played to Saka and then to Declan Rice, he takes the shot, deflection. You'll just see Saliba just casually just waltz with Fernandez into a more and more Arsenal friendly offside position, just kind of just holding him there, embracing each other,
you're
but holding him
onside.
So and playing everyone onside.
Thank you for that.
Thank
that's
you.
A new tactic.
That's
get
one
them,
of my,
push them.
That's one of my favourite things I've seen in that, a very
called,
long time.
That's called shuffleboard offside, where you just shuffle people along like a
pretty
game of
much.
Shuffleboard on the ship.
So any questions or illusions if Ben White was onside or offside are completely squashed because of Saliba's little dancing routine that he's got going on with Fernandes in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. So rewatch it. Just for that moment alone, guys, because it's one of my favourite things. But Ben White scoring once again, you know, easily.
I'm going to share it. If you take that off the screen, I'll do it because this is so important to see.
Ooh, yes,
we'll
yes,
a, we'll
I agree.
We'll get away for a few seconds.
I agree.
Because I hadn't noticed it until you said it. So is it up on the screen? It is. And if I
yes,
do this, and then I do this on there. Now, if you see, look along the touchline, just on the left, yeah, on the what's that 6 yard box, bottom of the
six yard box. Yep.
You carefully watch what Saliba does. He's holding.
You've got the mouse. You can put the mouse around it. They can see your mouse. There we
can
go.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
So, like, yeah. So stalled. Watch those two. That's Saliba and Fernandes having a little dance. We've got Saka on the ball here, and he's going to lay it off to Declan Rice. Watch as Declan Rice takes the shot. Gallagher
the
blocks
at the moment.
And it goes to Ben White. You'll see a little bit of movement from Saliba.
All right, so when it starts off, they're both on the six yard
yes.
box line.
Yeah,
pushing him.
There we go. Pushing him.
Now look how far he is. You're all outside, lads. Carry on. On him. He's
pushing
not going
him,
anywhere.
Holding him here, and we're done. Cheers, mate. Thanks for helping out. Yes, I appreciate you. I couldn't believe it when I watched it. It went all over Twitter, and I was wetting myself when I was watching it. So I felt like I was.
It's the little things, isn't it?
It was needed. I agreed.
And then Ben White going, "I'm a right back, right footed. I'll volley, you say? Someone hold my beer. Left
yeah,
foot volley.
Left,
wallet.
Left foot. No problem. No problem at all. Easily, you know, the best right back in the league right now, Danny.
Oh, yes.
Is there any? I can't think of anybody else that's competing with. The likes of Ben White. There's obviously a lot of talk with Walker. He's been invisible this season. Trippier's been invisible this season, as has Newcastle.
We know why Walker's been invisible. He's been off moonlighting.
There we go. But yeah, 2-0, Danny. Not too bad. You know, starting the second half really well. 52 minutes in. Starting the second half really well. Lovely clinical finish from Ben White. But for me, the goal of the game, Kai Havertz, 57th minute. There was a lot of talk about people whether, you know, Kai Havertz was going to score. And if he did score, is he going to celebrate, Danny? That was the question. Is the man going to celebrate? Who knows? But 57 minutes, we've got Ødegaard on the ball. And he just sees Kai Havertz's arm sticking out going, he wants the ball and plays one of probably the best passes I have ever seen. It was just such a beautifully weighted pass. Perfect stuff. Absolutely perfect.
So Gabriel fucks up at left back and loses the ball, then gets it back off the player. And then he does his ball straight through to Ødegaard. Now Ødegaard picks it up. Where's that? Third away a lot into the.
Here we go. Yeah, this is it. This is perfect.
Then watch it. I'm going to have to stop it a couple of times so that we don't get shot. But awesome, look how far he is in his own half.
So we've got Ødegaard on the ball here. He sees the run from Havertz. Plays the ball in the most beautifully arced pass. Havertz does really well to hold off Cucurella, who is the only one managing to keep up with him. And Havertz does beautifully well. It's like it was very reminiscent, Danny, of the Olivier Giroud finishes, where it was like body, 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 just lift it over the keeper. Beautifully finished. And he doesn't hesitate, does he, Danny? He just does the celebration. He does this. He gets involved. Yeah. Knee slide. Everyone comes running over. I don't think I've ever... When was the last time, Danny, you saw an ex-player from a previous team celebrate with that much ferocity? Because, you know,
often.
Trossard got lots of jip, but he did his usual T-pose, whereas Havertz just got involved.
The only one who celebrates, but it's Martinez. He does it against everyone because he's an arsehole. Because he's there. If it was our arsehole, we'd love him. But he's an arsehole, and he does it every time. Because Villa have got the upper hand with us quite a few times. But that goal is just stunning. And when you see on Football Manager a little button that says "pass into space," that should just say Ødegaard in it, because that's what he did. And it's a wonderful to see. And in all of Europe's top five leagues, I think he is the player who's created the most chances with 87. I think I saw a tweet today.
Yeah,
87. Wow.
Incredible football player. And Havertz just doing the business. Absolutely and utterly doing the business. I'm very happy. I was confused. Chelsea fans have been giving him so much chip all season, saying that, you know, we got mugged off by Chelsea charging as much as they did for Kai Havertz. That's obviously why it's very prevalent in his song with 60 million down the drain. But the way that they've treated him on social media has been abhorrent. Absolutely abhorrent. It's not like he did anything. He won him a Champions League. Champions League. And that's how they treat him.
And the World Cup, I think he scored the winner in that as well.
You're completely right. So he goes and does that, and then Chelsea go and treat him like he does. They do. That's just what they do anyway. And then Havertz goes and celebrates, and they wonder why. Very confused. But I'm just very happy now that I don't ever have to come back into an Arsenal podcast and explain myself about how much I love Kai Havertz when we first signed him, because the guy has been phenomenal for us this season. This is easily his best season that he's ever played in the Premier League, stats-wise. His aerial efforts have been absolutely phenomenal, Danny. This was a great goal, but he offers us something, doesn't he, Danny? By playing the ball over the top and him being able to control or take the ball out of the air and get people involved in the play. Once the connection between Saka and Havertz really starts to come to fruition, or to the moment of what that these guys have been playing a while together sort of now, then we're going to see some incredible 1-2 football. I'm hoping Martinelli obviously gets involved as well, but incredible finish from Havertz with one of the best passes of the game from the main man, Ødegaard, Danny. Fantastic stuff.
Wonderful.
3-0.
3-0. Yeah.
Very nice. What have we got in the chat here? We've got some questions, guys. If you do have any questions, put them into the chat now because I can save them. So no problem there. Okay. The game's done.
Yeah.
The game's done. The game's done, guys. It's only half an hour in, and the game is done. This was the game that I was hoping that was going to be a bit of a bogey team, but apparently that's absolutely a load of rubbish.
They've let us down.
Anyway, Russ Morgan, evening. Formerly known as our Herb Garden, was simply magnificent. He was, and Havertz detests Chelsea, Boitendio says, and I couldn't agree with you more. Hi, Russ. Oh, nice. They know each other. Very nice. Boitendio, Chelsea fans have higher standards for Havertz than they do Enzo, Caicedo, Mudrick, Jackson. I think they all cost more than Havertz too, maybe not Jackson. Well, they're running into lots of problems with their finances, but if they can keep selling car parks, hotels, personal cars,
eventually they'll get there.
It's crazy. They're just constantly just selling stuff, and it's so dodgy. It's so dodgy. I'm really hoping for a fire sale in the summer. It'll be nice if the European football clubs can pick apart a bit from Chelsea. That would be nice to see for like half the prices they pay.
Is there anybody else we'd have from Chelsea and make them good again? Maybe Caicedo, if you could get a tune out of him.
Maybe, because that's what we were looking at the start of the season. There was lots of comments and remarks about Caicedo. Do you remember that, Danny? Caicedo was the name that they were using.
I don't remember that, but it makes sense.
It was Caicedo, so you got the combination of rice and Caicedo, and they called it rice. It's horrific, but it stuck in my brain. It did its job, Danny. It did its like a little bit of marketing, so it did its job. Paul Nell, not Neil. Oi, oi. Russ Morgan, Alonso, who are these guys? Oh, right. Yeah. Archangel may as well talk about the 1780s and 90s nostalgia. No, let's not give up just yet. All right. Let's not give up just yet. Boitendio will be better next season. Pretty sure of that. Current setup we have is good. We're set for the next 5 years, guys. I'm buzzing. I'm absolutely buzzing. We are watching some of the best Arsenal football we've watched in decades. I'm just happy and enjoying the journey, guys. Formerly Noza, there were three midfielders that cost us over 100 million, cost them over 100 million, and that only one of them have justified the price tag. I agree. Cole Palmer will want out of Chelsea. I don't know about that. I'll tell you what, if something does happen there, that's going to be a lot of money because he's had a blinding season.
Well, he's top Premier League goal scorer, isn't he? He's still not getting a game for England.
Very true. Well, that's Southgate for you.
Certainly.
Boitendio, I would take gusto from Chelsea. Proper fullback, that one. Can play left or right back. And then we've got another question here from Archangel. So, yeah, we'll talk about the fourth goal now. Fourth goal, Kai Havertz. Let's get up to the replay moment. Here we go. Partey on the ball, plays it out to Saka on the right-hand side, who has a little bit of a battle with Cucurella. Lays the ball off to Havertz, who takes a little touch, another little directional touch as well, and then rifles it into the bottom right-hand corner, leaving the Chelsea keeper, Petrovic, just standing still and watching it as it ricochets off the inside of the post and into the back of the net. Beautiful striker's finish from Havertz, showing that he can score a goal from an attacking run, or he can score a goal from pinpoint position shooting. So fantastic stuff. Chelsea must have been absolutely distraught, and I know this because the Chelsea Twitter account refused to use Havertz's name in their tweets notifying the goals had gone in.
I did see people were kept editing the thing where they did the five goals. So let me help you with that, but I didn't realise what was going on. I just
So Trossard had scored, White had scored, so it gone. So their tweets were saying Ben White scores for Arsenal. When Kai Havertz scores, they just don't use his name.
Oh dear!
Really petty stuff. Doesn't shock me in the slightest. Exactly the sort of standard that I expect from Chelsea, a team that fights over taking a penalty. Yeah. Fights over taking a penalty. If only they'd shown that sort of fight against Arsenal, because they got destroyed. They got absolutely destroyed. So I was very happy to see Havertz score his brace. And there's the man himself, Kai Havertz. Absolutely reveling in the Chelsea salt. He's absolutely buzzing. It's really nice to see the connection between Kai Havertz and Declan Rice as well. They obviously joined the club at the same kind of time, within a few weeks of each other. Mm. And they've obviously built a connection of the new boys at the club. And they get on really well. There's lots of pictures of them together on social media. They're getting on well. So it's nice to see. It's really good to see the group. Oh, I'm loving that. Badly drawn Arsenal with Cucurella's hair in the background.
Old Rapunzel on her knees. Times are hard.
So absolutely blinding stuff.
The ball to, Saka set it up on the right, but the ball to Saka from Partey again. Party involved. Yep. People have been a little bit hard on Saka. He's not been the Saka of old, but he still ran down the right, zigzagged in between everybody and set Havertz up. So that was nice to see.
Very nice to see. Partey, it's like it was just the Partey that we wanted to sign, right, Danny? But the thing is, has it come at the right moment, or is it a little bit too late?
Too late. Yeah, it's all done.
Oh, I don't mean keeping him. I mean, do you think he's going to help us get what we need? We've just got to win every single game.
I'm not playing those mind games. I refuse to believe. I'm not going along with it. I'm not having it. No.
Just enjoy the football, shall we? We can only do that, can't we? We can only do that. 4-0, Danny. 4-0. And then we've got the final goal, which is probably one of the more bizarre goals that I've seen from since Mudryk, really, in the reverse fixture. So we've got Saka out here on the right-hand side. He's having a little bit of fun again with Cucurella. He cuts it in on the inside and lays off a pass to Ødegaard, who beautifully, exquisitely dinks the ball over the back line of the Chelsea defence into an on-running run from Ben White, who tries to...
can't believe it.
So he's trying to lay the ball off across the mouth of the goal, the six-yard box. We've got Havertz, Trossard, we've got Declan Rice at the back post, and he tries to lay off a pass. However, it kind of bobbles off his shin as well as his ankle and just beautifully, perfectly lifts over the keeper into the back of the net.
Wonderful. Yeah, Cucurella got on toast again. That's the third time that day he'd been taken on toast. But the build-up was Partey and Saka and Ben White all involved in it. I don't know if anybody's done it, and if I had the video editing skills, I'd just do all the techers that Ødegaard did in that game. The boy was filthy. Dirty boy. Agreed. Dirty, filthy boy. Get to your bed. And Trossard, when the ball goes in, Trossard just look. It's like you're watching a plane coming in, the land at Heathrow, and he's going, fucking hell, look at that. Wow, oh, it's gone in. And then the Chelsea players, they've got their hands bent over, the hands down on their knees, and I just go, oh. And it could have been, it could have been 10 last night.
Yeah, just looking
at the stats, it says here, total shots for Arsenal, 27 on target, 7 off target, on target 10, off target 7, blocked 10. So it's 10 on target and 10 blocked. We could have, in another reality, we could have easily have broke the Premier League record. And what a nice, there isn't many nicer clubs you want to do that against other than those chav fucks from that bus stop in Fulham. I hate them. Obviously, I'd rather it 10-0 against Spurs or Man City or Liverpool, but I think it would hurt more for them because they're scum.
Do you know what, right? Because of how bad they've been this season, it's kind of my dislike in Chelsea has gone down a little bit, only because it's now, I feel like I'm slapping a little boy with glasses. It's a bit, I feel like I'm slapping down, I'm hitting down, you know, punching down, they say. Yeah. I'm like, Chelsea a bit really life. Shit at the moment. Do you know what I mean? I'm punching down with Chelsea, so I feel embarrassed for them more than anything else.
Well, we've had a decent run against them in recent years. Now I had the here you go.
Here we got the numbers. There we go. Yeah, get that off the screen.
We've got them there. So 5-0. They're going back in time. 5-0 the last one. 2-2 at their place in the league. 3-1 at home in the league. 1-0 away in the league. 4-2 at their place in the league. That was only April 22. Then they came to Arsenal and beat us 2-0. That's a one-off. But then we beat them 1-0 in the league at their place. 3-1 at our place in the league. 2-1 at our place in the FA Cup. 2-2 at their place in the league. And that goes back to January 2020. So what's that? That's going to be 10 games, they've won one. We've scored a 5, a 4, a few 3s, some 2s. They've only won one. That's not... That's you go back at 10 games before that, they probably would have beaten nearly all of them.
Yeah, I agree. But it shows the turning of the tables between Arsenal and Chelsea. We're going very much forward. They're very much going backwards, even though they've spent triple the amount that we have. As I said, fire sale in the summer, it's going to be interesting to watch. But yeah, Danny, 5-0. 5-0. 5-0. Ben Blanco, Benny Blanco, getting the fifth goal. A brace for him. A brace for him. It's not something you see every day with a right back scoring himself a brace in a game against Chelsea as well. A team that won the Champions League only a couple of seasons ago. So we finished the game 5-0. An impressive performance. The best victory we've ever had against Chelsea. If we would have scored one more, I think that would have been our best away result, matching our best away result. Is that right? Quite possibly. I'm sure if I'm wrong, someone.
I'll just make it up and people don't question it.
There we go. If you walk, it's like walking into somewhere that you shouldn't be. If you walk in there with so much swagger and confidence, people go, "Ah, he's meant to be here." Same kind of premise, isn't it? Same kind of premise. But yeah, 5-0, Danny. What a result. Were you expecting that sort of result?
No. No, 2-2, I thought maybe because they're a team full of decent players and occasionally they actually click and they look pretty good. But if you go back and look at some of their previous results, I'm just going to go back and look at the fixtures. They smashed Everton 6-0. That was only 8 days ago. And they beat Man United 4-3. And then they beat Newcastle 3-2. And that's Leeds. Who else did they beat? They beat Villa 3-1 in the FA Cup, and then they lost that one. They beat Middlesbrough 6-1. So they've had some decent results in the last season or so, but they've also had some absolute shockers. 4-4 with Man City in the Premier League last November, and then the game before that they beat Spurs 4-1, but Spurs had two players sent off. So it's as a Chelsea fan, I mean, I turn on Hawksby and Jacobs just to listen to Paul Hawksby because Was it Andy Jacobs? It's Andy Jacobs. Yeah, Andy Jacobs. He's the Chelsea. I just listen to him because he said in one of the games where they won, he said, "I've gone. I've walked out. I'd had enough." And it turns out they actually won the game. And I've had enough. And then he's just hearing a grown man having a. Oh, here we go. I'm gonna have to approve. I've had some potty language in the chat, Deke. This one,
yeah, potty
from,
language. Unbelievable.
Never. Boy 10 says this is held for review. Never striking down at Chelsea. They are filthy, dirty, cheating filth. Roman paying managers by offshore accounts to fudge the accounts. They can fuck off with their stolen glory. I don't know why that got blocked, Boy 10. And Grant had one. Fucking smoke Chelsea. Love to see it. So, yeah, by the time I approve those, it doesn't turn up on our feed for Deke to show you also. And you got to be straight from YouTube. But
there we go.
Delightful. There we go. But Chelsea, they're probably going to go their next game and they're probably going to play someone and beat them 11-0. And then a game after that, they'll lose 5-0. This isn't my wee I'm drinking. This is.
You just scared the You just scared the shit out of Jen. I thought that's what you were doing.
No, on the meat diet, you've got to have electrolytes.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
Wasn't that a Bob Marley song about the electrolytes?
Sure.
Who knows?
But yeah, no Cole Palmer, obviously. That was obviously a refreshing thing to see, not having the man himself being involved in the game. And Chelsea were just a shadow of their former selves. It was quite embarrassing to watch, Danny.
Someone tweeted, where would Chelsea be, a fat Chelsea fan, where would Chelsea be without all the Cole Palmer goals? And they'd be 19th.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
18th or 19th. I should save these things.
Yeah, you've got to. So that's especially with comments like that, you've got to be saving it.
I've got some things saved that I've put in our thing. So if we go from the top, we've got previous games, league table. Let's have a moment on the league table, Dee.
Yes.
Does that warm the cockles of our cold, dead hearts?
It warms the cockles and then some. We were worried about having that little bit of a blip. You know, who knows what's going to happen with the final four games of the season. But all we've got to do is finish the season strong for ourselves. We've got the scum down the road on Sunday. That's going to be an interesting one. Followed by, we've got a trip to Old Trafford as well with a couple of games in between. But yeah, here we are. We're sitting...
Team that is on the doctor's couch at the moment, isn't it? Having aromatherapy to get over their issues. They are another mental team. We could beat them 11-0, or it could be a 5-5, or they could beat us 2-0. Who knows? I mean, like last night, losing 1-0 and then losing 2-1 to Sheffield United, who have never knowingly won a game.
What is going on with the City game?
Yeah, apparently they had a free kick, and it was never a free kick, and they scored from it.
Oh, yeah, Foden scored twice. We've got Waheed here. City versus Brighton needs to be investigated. Danny, the FA and the PGMOL, I don't even know what to say anymore.
Keith Hackett follows me.
Really?
Yeah. Fuck knows why he told me the other day. I just said he replied to one of my tweets. Maybe he likes some of the bullshit that I tweet to annoy people.
Sure.
He's been coming out and going, this is unacceptable. The amount of apologies, the amount of money that the FA has spent via Interflora sending bunches of flowers to all the, with the apology cards to all the teams and players and things they fucked over. It is absolutely, it's hilarious levels. Forrest said before the game, he is a Luton fan. He will fuck us over. What did he do? He fucked them over like Forrest did. I mean, when people are predicting it, and when teams are coming out with their Twitter accounts and going, this is corruption. Everybody knows it. Yep. If anybody is stupid or naive enough to think there is no corruption in the Premier League, you are off your trolley and you need to go and get yourself an MOT treacle. Every single top league, Italy, France, Germany, Spain, corruption everywhere. Teams having points taken off, teams having titles taken off them. If you think this isn't happening, if you don't think there's some Southeast betting syndicate have got their fingers up the referees' bums, making them do what they want to do, you're off your trolley, because corruption is rife in the biggest league, the biggest league in all sports in the entire world, probably. I don't know, I made that up. If you don't think it, you are mad. Betting syndicates run everything. Just like Big Pharma runs politicians, betting syndicates run all sport. Now, don't let yourself think it's not true. It's not a conspiracy. That's a fact. There's not
well said, Danny. Well said. You're completely right. It's crazy how we've kind of blasé'd over it as well. The fact that betting, how many teams are sponsored by betting companies? It's absolutely absurd. It's crazy.
And they don't. It's not like the old days where a team like. When we were getting a new shirt sponsor for Arsenal, Citroën were interested because Arsene Wenger was French. We had World Cup winners that were French at the club. And they go, we pick the best clubs. Or in Germany, you get Audi was sponsor a German club. Or a northern team like Strongbow, they sponsored Leeds. Or teams that are, companies that would have something to do with the teams for one reason or another. There was, now they just go, a betting club will go, right, who are we going to get our best value with? We don't care. We'll sponsor anybody. Kelvin McKenzie of the... that's not the right one. Kelvin, who does the finance pod. Not Kelvin McKenzie. He runs Talk Sport Radio. What's he called? Kelvin something, somebody in the chat, or somebody listening will know. He's a Brighton fan. He does a show with Kevin Day, a podcast about finance. He said they don't care. They will just come in and sponsor any team who will have them.
Yep. Especially with the shoulder sponsorships as well. We're starting to sell more panels on the football shirts, aren't we? So
yeah,
we're just going to start to see more advertisements all over the shirt, maybe the top of the shirt, bottom of the shirt, so on and so forth. But it's upsetting. I think that's probably why I get involved in a lot of grassroots football, because it's the passion of the game as opposed to the corruption of the money. I've said it for years, you know, FC doesn't stand for football club anymore. It stands for franchise club.
Or fucking corrupted. Archangel. Or Michael Oliver.
Franchise
goes,
corruption. Yeah.
Yeah. Michael Oliver goes straight from his Qatari job to referee a Man City game. No, nothing to see there. Ah, Henty is there. I'll ask you a question about this in a second. Arsenal have played a total of 396 minutes and 44 seconds since Tottenham last kicked a ball competitively. Any worries? 9, 8, 27, 36. Is that 5 games?
Really?
9, 8, 27, 36, 45. That's nearly 5 games. Henty had a... this would be a question for people listening to you, Deke. Back in the day, you had to make 10 Premier League appearances before you got a medal. Then, yeah. I didn't know this, but Henty said about 10 years ago, they changed it to 5. So he did a poll today. How many games is it fair that you play before you get a Premier League winner's medal if your club wins it? 1, 5, 10, or... I can't remember what the other option was. What do you reckon?
I really... it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because I like the idea of everyone getting a Premier League winning medal.
Yeah.
But then I think of people like Scott Carson.
But he didn't play a game, though, did he?
So I'm like, I want everyone to have a medal. I want everyone to have a medal. And then I've got Scott Carson breathing down my neck. And that's the example that I've got constantly in my mind. And I'm like, you're going to need to have played at least a few games. So I like the idea. I think one's not enough. I think five's fine. I think five's fine, Danny. How about you?
I just found something I want to share that we were talking about later. I'm just trying to find the tweet where I replied to him.
All right, yeah, fair enough.
That's not it. How about La Liga? They're going to be playing games in the USA. Fuck about.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it came out yesterday. Breaking news, this transfer news live that have got 2.3 million followers. La Liga president has announced that La Liga will play official league match in the USA from 25-26 season because they are broken. They are whores.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy, isn't it? That's crazy. To be fair, though, La Liga's got no money, so maybe they're selling out.
They've got to do something.
They've got to sell out. They've got to sell out at some point, haven't they? What's happening, Boitendio? What's happening? What is happening?
With what? What's he saying?
I don't know. Something's happening, and I don't know what's happening. Archangel here. Remember the blonde kid that photobombed at the 2020 FA Cup celebrations? Never saw him again.
Oh. Disappeared.
Go. Boitendio, if it spins money, the Prem will do it. I don't know about the Prem. Who knows? Questions, guys. If you've got questions, put them in the chat. We're not going to do this for much longer. My throat might cut out any moment, and we don't want that to happen. That's for sure. If you've got any... Go on.
Yeah, the thing with that Hente was talking about, I said, well, that back in the day, I think David Bentley, Justin Hoyt were both part of the Invincible side. They only played one game. and other things like that. But I said, you look at Kevin Campbell, when he came on loan from Trabzonspor to Everton, he scored 7 goals in 5 games. Now, if he'd have done that in a team that won the league and he only played those 5 games and he didn't get a medal back then, you'd think, well, that's a little bit hard. I remember when Ronnie Rosenthal signed for Liverpool, yeah, and helped them towards the title. He came in and scored like about 9 goals in 4 games or something crazy, and then went off to Spurs and did nothing. So I think 5 is a fair number, but you've got to be gutted if on the last day of the season your team needs to win the league, Aguero style. You haven't played a game all season. You come in and you score a hat-trick as your team wins 3-2 to win the title, and they go, you're not having a medal for that. And these things do happen occasionally. So I think they give out so many medals now. Maybe they should have on the back of the medal how many games you actually played. Maybe that's the answer to everything. Little certificate. You've got medal, but you only played one.
A medal.
The more games you play, the bigger the medal.
Oh, good God. Well, then, if that's the case, Saliba's medal is going to be fucking ginormous as a Saka's.
Yeah.
Unbelievable-sized medals, that's for sure. So we'll do questions then, guys, because my throat is starting to...
I found that thing you were talking about.
Guys, this is what I was talking about. If you're watching, if you're just listening, we're looking at the Chelsea tweet. So we've got 29 minutes. The second half begins. Keep pushing, Blues. And then we've got 24. And then we've got 24 minutes. We've got White makes it 2. And then it's 19 minutes. Goal to Gunners. Who scored the goal? No one knows. 11 minutes here. Goal to Arsenal, 4-0, and then we've got the final one here. White scores again, so went back to the name to make it 5-0. And yeah, Chelsea just didn't want to use Kai Havertz's name. I love the lowest of the lowest standard of pettiness. Nothing shocks me with how petty Chelsea can be, and they go and do it by just simply tweeting out a few things. Unbelievable stuff, Danny. I absolutely wet myself when I saw that. Absolutely wet myself. The fact that they're that petty. Oh, that's boy, Tendio's got a good shout here. Maybe it should be 5 games or 5 goals. But then what happens if he scores 4 goals in the final game?
Yeah, you win the last 4 games of the season and he scores all 4,
It's all...
It's an interesting question.
It is an interesting question. I do like the 5 games still. I think that's a good balance between the two, because once again, I've got Scott Carson breathing down my neck and I just can't allow...
He didn't play any, though, did he? All those times that they won.
The ridiculousness.
He played 0.
Yeah,
if you play 0, you're not getting a thing.
But I don't get it, Danny. I don't get the whole Scott Carson thing. I just don't get it.
You really have got a bug up your ass about that. I know. I've never even thought about it.
No, I find it funny that he's just sitting on the bench for so many years.
He's got more medals than most Premier League players ever, and he's not kicked the ball.
And he's not kicked a ball. This is my point. So anyway, Boy Tendio, Chelsea are shameless, hoard themselves out for the oligarch money, but can't accept a player they hated as doing well. City will have karma bite them too. We can only hope and pray. So we'll quickly go into the questions then, guys. Boy Tendio, how good is Ben White? And he's good. Can he? And how good? I'm guessing you mean to say, can he become? Will he still be our right back at 34, injuries permitting? Danny, do you see Ben White as the going forward for the next few years being our first choice right back?
Oh, I've got a cat hair in my mouth. Fuck's sake! I wouldn't be surprised if he just quits at the age of 31 to go and be a porn star or something. He's got the looks. He's got the hip movement. He could do anything that he wants. I think
Love Island Maldini.
Well, there you go. Yeah, he could do that. I think he'd love to go off. You can see him playing for Inter Milan or AC Milan or Juventus and just strolling around the pitch. How old is he? Benny Blanco is, he's 20 bloody 6. Oh, he's 2 days before my birthday. That's probably why we look the same. But clearly. I'm 27 years older than him, sadly. Oh, fuck.
but you can see him being our right back for the next for the foreseeable future anyway.
Trust him so much. We don't even have another right back at the club, do we?
That's do exactly. We? That's a fantastic. Cedric can play there. Timber can play there.
Cedric can't play anywhere.
Tomiyasu can play
just
there.
Putting out the cones now.
Sure. But It's let's just put it this way. It's a position. Oh, Kai Havertz, what a man! What a man! The right back position is a position that we don't have to worry about for the next 2, 3, 4 years, and it's nice. I don't know. It's not something that I'm worried about at any point. So I'm happy. I would be fine with it if it obviously, you know, going to 34. I don't know about that. You know, football changes so often, Danny, that who knows what style of football
teams
are
going to
be playing in 4 or 5. No, he hates football. The bloke hates football. It's the same exact question. All right, well, we answered it for you, so that's good stuff. Ooh, Archangel.
Got another little beauty for you here. Gird your loins.
Hold that one off.
This is, I didn't know what it was. I had to go and look it up because it's too small. I didn't want to just flash it up. That is Havertz's current run of games.
Right. This is so. This is
rubbing your trousers, shouting Iranu, Ivaru. Look at it.
It's beautiful, isn't it? What we got? We got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 goals. We've got 6 nine goals games. And we've got 5 assists in 9
Didn't he
games.
Play against Villa?
No. Did he? Oh, I don't know. I think he did. I'm pretty sure he did.
So is that some dodginess? I'm just going to go and have a look and see if he played against Villa. Maybe right. It's just games he started. Here we go. Aston Villa. I've clicked on it. Do as you were told, internet. Oh, yeah, he started the game. Yeah. So it's come off. Yeah, it got booked in the 63rd minute. So why are all of these like that? I'm just going to get this here, and then I'm going to move the screen like that. Then I can compare and contrast with... hold on, I've got too many screens up, Deke.
Okay, so no worries.
So Chelsea, and then Wolves game isn't there either. Well, maybe it's when he plays centre-forward.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because it says position, centre-forward. Yeah,
that's the batter.
Look how smart we are, Danny. Unbelievable stuff.
We know things.
We know stuff. But that proves, if anything, that proves even more so that he should be playing up top.
Yeah.
There we go.
Is he the answer, though? That's the question.
Well, he's a version of the answer. That's my response for that one. He's a version of the answer. We're still going to need to sign a striker.
Yeah.
We're still going to need to sign a striker. So let's we've got another question here. What we got here? Archangel, does anyone think that Arteta can get a tune out of the Ukraine bolt? As in Mudryk. Obviously, I say there's a fire sale that's going to happen at Chelsea, maybe, potentially. Maybe. I know that the Arsenal board are still very much invested and interested in the idea of bringing Mudryk to the Arsenal, but I don't see that happening. I just don't see it happening. I don't see Chelsea letting him go after one season, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't think they will. That is, there's only a certain number of players for the FFPFP or whatever they're rebranding it that you can keep buying for X amount and selling before you can do it, before you end up throwing money, burning money. And I know they're trying to, there was an article about trying to, someone of the Premier League owner wanted to do, I think it's Todd Bowley actually, was talking about bringing in a system for wages, salary cap, like you do in the NBA, where the salaries are unlimited, but over a certain amount, you will then get charged 30 or 40% fines once you go over a certain amount. I tweeted about it because I went and had a look at it. But like all the teams that win the NBA title all do get massive fines of hundreds of thousands or maybe even millions for paying their players too much money.
Right.
Because there was a limit to how much you can pay, and they always go over the limit, and then the percentage of that limit you have to pay in a fine.
Oh, okay.
Ish. I will learn that in 5 minutes. I don't even watch basketball. Squeak.
I don't know if the Bundesliga still do it, but I know that they've got like salary caps to players under 21 and stuff like that.
See, that would make sense, but that's Germany for you. Everything maybe makes sense.
Sure. So are we gonna sign Mudryk? No. I don't think we're going to sign Mudryk. Could Arteta obviously get a tune out of him? Maybe. But we've got Trossard and Martinelli there. We need someone who can rotate Saka out of the team because Saka plays every single game of every single minute. Formerly Noza, can we swap Eddie and Palmer in summer? Palmer plus cash, obviously. Well, obviously. I think most people, even non-Arsenal fans, would have to say that it has to be out of cash as well because Eddie's just horrific. No, I can't see Chelsea signing somebody like Eddie Nketiah. Not in a million years, even though they've got a really, you know, really weird striker situation going on up top themselves. But I can see Eddie going to someone like maybe Solanke moves on from Bournemouth. He goes to Bournemouth, something like that. That's probably where I see Eddie. Danny, I don't know about you, but that sort of thing's never going to happen, is it?
Boy, Ten's going over the top with the rude words now. He said, now he's going to do fuck all next game. That was blocked. And the other one he did was, Bowley can fuck off for wanting to socialise football. That was blocked. I've unblocked them so people in the chat can on YouTube can see them. Yeah, I agree with you. It's just wonderful. And I can't see it happening. And I don't want it to happen. There's only you don't want to tempt fate too much. Havertz, brilliant. Jorginho, mostly good. The rest of them, all shit. Just we quit while we're ahead. You're leaving Las Vegas, put your money in your pocket and walk out knowing you're a winner. Never darken their doorstep again.
I like it. Ross Morgan here puts Lavia or Caicedo. We were talking during the podcast about Chelsea players that we could maybe poach off them. And Ross Morgan's asking Lavia or Caicedo. Lavia was both of these players, actually, were linked to the Arsenal in the summer. And we got neither of them because Chelsea just went money, money, money and bought a load of players and managed to get Lavia away from Southampton. Would you want either of those, Danny?
Lavia costs 53 million. He's played one game.
Ooh.
And that was one game in the Premier League. No cup games, no nothing. I don't know if he's been injured. I'm not even going to bother looking into that. He has been injured, but I don't care about Chelsea. Fuck them. But they've got so many. Who was that forward they had? It was it looks like Jackson. Someone who interferes with donkeys.
Nicholas Jackson.
He was there before. It's going to look weird. Broja.
Oh,
he was he's Albanian.
He's a decent player. He's a decent player. I like
him. He's English, plays for Albania. Don't fuck with him. Where is he now? Oh, he's on loan at Fulham again.
He's a decent player. I rate him higher than Jackson. He's a unit,
6'3", 22.
Yeah, I rate him higher than Jackson.
Yeah, they loaned him out again. When did he go out on loan?
Not a very well-run club, Danny. Can't expect world wonders out of him. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they loaned him out in the beginning of February, so very last day of the transfer window. So he's gone there, not really doing anything at Fulham. He's a decent player. But you just look at how many players they've got. They've got six goalkeepers out on loan, and most of them cost them an absolute fortune. I mean, Kepa cost them 71 million. Wow, six out on loan. It's crazy. They've got Lukaku still out on loan now and cost them 100 million.
God, yeah, Lukaku.
Out on loan, that's 40 million.
I think
million.
You forgot about Lukaku. Jesus Christ.
But the amount of money they have spent on players, the number of players they've got that are decent young players, they just don't use. It's ridiculous, but stay away from them.
Another question then. Boy Tendio, is Palmer stat padding this season by showing up against bad teams?
Yes.
But Arsenal stat padded against bad teams. Like
United,
Burnley, Sheffield United, Chelsea, West Ham. But all jokes aside, I think a lot of players like to stat pad. You just score goals in front of, you know, it is what it is. Palmer's a quality player. He scores a lot of penalties, but he's been their best player by a mile. And it was fantastic to see him not in the lineup against the Arsenal the other night. So regardless of the situation, I am all for it. Supercalifragilistic question. My wife does not fancy Benjamin White. How stupid is that? My missus don't fancy Benjamin White either. She doesn't fancy him. Too pretty.
So you moved your mouth away then, so we didn't hear what you said.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it was Super Cali said, my wife does not fancy Benjamin White. How stupid is that? And then
what
I said about
my wife.
My missus doesn't fancy him either.
I don't have
too
a
pretty,
wife.
Pretty, obviously, because as by my face, I'm not the prettiest.
She likes the dragged through the hedge backwards look. That
exactly.
You
the, ho- the hobo. Wow. The hobo look.
That was hobo. If anybody starts making accusations,
yes, hobo, HBO. Christ Almighty. I think he's a good-looking chap. I think he's a good-looking chap. But there we are. That's just me. And then Super Cali here. How about some predictions? In what minute do we first score on Sunday, Danny?
I'm just reading an email. Did you ever listen to Dork Radio and had a bloke called Tommy Boyd?
Yes.
So he does a podcast. He's a Portsmouth fan called Pomp and Guns Podcast. And they've just emailed me and said, I've been listening for ages. I do a podcast with Tommy Boyd. And he said, you haven't been on for a while. Are you all right?
Well,
thank you very much. Tommy Boyd is one of my radio heroes, right up there with Ian Collins and Ian Lee.
Very cool.
Tommy Boyd, radio legend. And I hope you're watching this, James. Very nice of you to email. I will actually bother to reply to you. I don't reply to emails. I've got fat fingers. It wears me out. But I'm going to reply to that one. And now I'm going to concentrate on what you were saying, Deke, because I went full Aaron Ramsdale there, distracted.
It's a bird.
What was the question?
The question was from Super Cali. What are the predictions for Sunday? What minute do you think we'll score on?
No, you can, as we saw last night of Everton Liverpool. Liverpool are one of the best teams in the league. Everton are fucking dog shit. Everton won it 2-0 and should have won it by more. That is our Saint Charme. That is derby football. Man City, Man United, Everton, Liverpool, Chelsea, Fulham, or Chelsea, Barnet, and then Arsenal, Spurs. And it is, it is so bad that I've had friends, season ticket holders, who do not go to North London derbies because they can't cope with it. That is the way you think I was angry at what happened against, that's Boyd and cancel predictions. So, can't do that. But, I was angry with the Bayern Munich result. I'm inconsolable for ages if we lose to Spurs and it's away. And those dirty scumbags, I'm careful with my words here, those filthy, dirty, subhuman trolls, they are going to
tell us how you really feel, Danny. Really feel.
That we are going to be left looking like a Glaswegian wife after a pound of pint night in the Glaswegian inner cities. We are going to be broken, battered, and bruised. We're going to need more. All the subs are going to be brought on. We're going to have St John's Ambulance are going to have the busiest day in a very long time because they know if we beat them, it's still on, but they know that if they fuck us up, and Ange isn't, you'll see the dark side of Ange. The bloke's a fucking fake Aussie minge, and I hate him, and I hate that club. But we are, it's Royal Rumble. I'm not looking forward to it.
You needed to get that out, didn't you, Danny?
I'm thinking about it now.
Let's just have a light-hearted question for the final one, then, Danny. Super Cali here asks, will we ever see Marquinhos again?
Well, I will, because he has a little side venture called Marquinhos's Marquise, and he's doing the summer barbecue for me, so he'd be putting that up, and it's at very reasonable rates. If you look him up on the interwebs, Marquinhos's Marquise.br, that's Brazil, and very, very competitive rates. It's him and who was that? Andre Santos, they do it together. Andre does all the running around.
Danielson.
Danielson does the barbecuing because he's a big fat lump now. The extra sauce, boss?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. No, I will not be seeing him ever again. No. Danny might, but I won't. No. I won't be seeing him ever again. But that's it. No more questions. Oh, we got one. We'll do one more question from Boyton Dio. My throat is cutting out. It's so freaking sore. Final question then. Do we sign two strikers and promote one of the three young midfielders in our under-21s, or do we want a striker and one CM and see what happens? Danny?
We know that Arteta is never bringing anybody through. It's not happening. I mean, Timber's almost ruined his chances by playing with the under-21s. I mean, that's tainted him. He'll stink now. It's going to take him half a season to get back in the first team for playing with the under-21s. Got no chance. None of them are coming through ever. Patino, Manwari, all the others might as well just retire from football because you're never going to play for the Arsenal. Arteta isn't going to have it. He doesn't trust the seasoned pros that are playing for the first team, let alone any. And don't give me that bullshit. How he brings youth through. No, you bend the rules and go, these are youth players because they grew up at Arsenal, does not mean they're youth players now. You're not going to say that Saka is a youth player. He was a youth player when Emery brought him through, as was Nelson and Chris Willock and all those others. They were youth players and Eddie. They're not now. No, in a year, you've got no chance. Run, get out while you can, as they used to say. But wee Joel Campbell, who's now working at a rotisserie in Edinburgh. Sad times.
Right. Well, that's it then, Danny. I don't think there's much more to talk about, if I'm honest with you. Fantastic result.
Yep.
5-0 against the Scum. Our best ever victory against them. Beautiful stuff. Unbelievable. Oh, Hente, Deke, your recovery from the throat injury was rapid. My throat is still killing me. It's absolutely killing me. But yeah. That's why I'm gonna wrap it up. But I really appreciate the kind words. Thank you. And Boy Tendia, thank you very much for the love. I really appreciate it. Thanks for everybody jumping in to this very late, better late than never podcast to discuss the
podcast tomorrow.
Oh, is there? Oh, well, there we go.
It's me,
oh
yeah, and Richard and Josh, 9 PM Friday night, and maybe one more. We might squeeze another one in. So yeah, we're turning up as long as I don't have my body doesn't break down again.
Gotcha. But beautiful stuff. Thanks for everybody for popping by. If you're listening to this post, thank you very much for listening. It was nice to just relive the 5-0 victory against the Rent Boys. That's always nice to do. I will finish with just saying that I want to congratulate David Raya for winning the Golden Glove, with 4 games to go. Beautiful stuff. From the man. Well played, David Raya. Fantastic stuff. So thank you very much for everybody popping by, Danny. You've been a star. Thank you for being here and helping pressing all the buttons and all that stuff.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't have been able to do it without you. And I have updated the things that I stole off the internet. This, if you go to my Twitter, @_GFP, David Raya apology form. There was a shitty one going around. I've done it properly and made it look nice and added some interesting things on there. And also there is the Kai Havertz apology form if you are feeling extra repentive. Yep. Repent.
Yeah, well, yeah. We like that. We like that. That's fine. Yeah, both of those have been sent out on my Twitter profile. So if you want to sign them and send them
back to me. Steal them as much as you want, people.
If you could just send them back to me, I will get back to you as soon as I can. I'll probably have like an out-of-office message response or something like that.
Address it to Deke up north.
Yeah, just Deke up north. That's fine. That's no problem because I backed both of those. Just saying. Anyway, I digress. Beautiful stuff. We've got a huge game on Sunday against the Scum up the road. So from Scum down south to the Scum up the road, I'm hoping for a victory. It's going to be a tough one because derbies are always like that. But up the Gunners, we're gonna push this all the way to the very end, and we're going to give City a good going for. Let's just try and do it. Let's freaking do it, Danny.
Indeed. Let's go, Brandon.
Bergkamp. Perez. Wilto makes a run ahead of it. Bergkamp suddenly changed pace through the centre. It's Bergkamp. That's magnificent.
Yeah, that was the intro. I fucked that up. I'm just going to end the show there. Clueless.